Blog Talk Radio.
We pray for blessings. We pray for peace. Comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. Yet love is way too much to give us lesser things. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? We pray for wisdom, your voice to hear. And we cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. We doubt your goodness. We doubt your love, as if every promise from your word is not enough. All the while you hear each desperate plea, and long that we'd have faith to believe. 'Cause what if your blessings come through?
Okay, welcome back here, everybody, to Journey into the Light Radio, Spiritual Radio Your Way. We're going to be joined in with Lisa Zayas, psychic medium. We're going to be taking your calls for free readings here on this show. So dial on into the number and then press the 1 on your phone once you called in. This way we know you want to come on and you have a question for Lisa, and we'll bring you up here momentarily. Okay? So there you go there. We're glad you are here. Make sure you click on the follow button located at the top left of your screen so you get updates of all the new and upcoming shows heading your way. As Journey of Light is a spiritual radio show that's been here now going into our 9th year. We have hosted over 4,000 shows. We have multiple shows daily. Normally, my goodness, about 5 or 7 shows a day. From guests all around the world with all different modalities, all to help you. And that's what the show's all about. So, one last time, the number to call in is 347-884-8245 is the number. Okay, as you guys are calling on into the show, I'm going to go ahead and join on in with my guest, Lisa Zayas, to the show. Welcome back, Lisa.
Hey, Michael, how are you? How's that sounding? Better?
Yes, I think we're good.
All right, good.
We'll just go with that. And, yeah, so I was, ever since Sunday, and the news came down about the Standing Rock and the pipeline there in North Dakota, and looks like good news on Sunday. I really was looking forward to this show speaking with you because you've been really talking about this and bringing it forward to so many people, so they're aware of it. So this has been something you have been behind and really involved in just since the get-go. So I'll ask you then, first off, what's your thoughts on where things stand right now?
Well, right now, Nelson is still in the wings. He's not sure if he's going to go or not. Right now, we're setting as if we're going. Right now, that's where it looks like. But people are pulling out. I think the veterans are staying. Nelson has a friend who is a chief, and that's called a cacique, and that's who he's going to be going with. So him and the cacique have contacts actually out there. So what we found out is that there are, very important people, like you can look it up, the Prioris, and those are like the Knights Templars, and they're standing ground also there. So there is some connection there. We do have some friends who are there who have not left the camp, and we've been getting calls from them. The thing is that you can't really call out. Sometimes the helicopters are flying over. They block the signals so that the people can't call out. There's one place. It's actually called very funny, Facebook Mountain. And you have to, go over to that mountain just to make a call out because they're jamming the signal so that the people can't reach out to their loved ones. So that's kind of upsetting that that's what they're doing. There's also, a lot of people, they're holding, there's a hold on the money now. So a lot of people who have made donations, and I'm not sure, I'm not trying to blame the banks or anything, but there's a lot of money coming in to help these people get propane and wood. And what's happening is the bank is not releasing the money. So I don't understand why M&T is doing this. I'm not really sure. I don't want to say it's their fault. Maybe there's some kind of precedent that has to be followed. But the money is not going to these people who desperately need some heating, either fuel or propane or wood. So a lot of the money is there. It's not like it's being used. It's not like it went anywhere, but it's not getting to the people. So that's a huge concern. I believe what's going to happen is that some people are pulling out while many of the elders are staying. The veterans are still staying, and the Prioris are there. Again, those are like the Knights Templar. They're still there as far as I know. And they're going to hold their ground because, it's not because it's all a done deal and people are just going to pack up and say, okay, see you, no problem. there has been word that during the night, before the word came down, there was a burial site that in the middle of the night, they just bulldozed right over. So, you know, the people there really just don't trust what the corporations can do. You know, they could just leave. And think about this, Michael. And my husband brought up this, you know, great point. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I hate to even put it out there. But say everyone leaves, which would be the craziest thing. But say everyone leaves. Well, they can come in and just put the pipeline in and say, yeah, it's done. Just fine us. How much can you possibly fine us? Yeah, it's done already. So that's never going to happen. These people are not going to leave. And they're not going to leave because they're going to also wait for Trump to see what he's going to do. Since Obama is the one who put this through, they're going to now wait for the next president to come in and see what he's going to do. It looks like he is breaking ties right now from his oil contacts. There has been word that he's trying to sever some ties. That's good. I'm not sure how much truth of that can be taken at face value. I don't know that. I haven't seen any documented evidence of that. It's just basically hearsay. But again, the elders and most of the people are probably going to bed down for the winter in order that they can keep an eye out and watch. So yeah, that's where we're standing. Nelson does intend to leave, so we are kind of still planning that the day after Christmas he will go there with supplies and as much stuff as he can stuff into the truck for the people. That's where we are right now. So
yeah, I don't think this is done, and I'm glad, you know, by a long shot, and I'm glad they're staying because, things that I have gathered don't look good at all because, I mean, you have Trump that has recently said that he supports putting in the pipeline like it's planned and not rerouting it. You got the oil company that says, you know, regardless of what was said this Sunday by rerouting it, that Obama pushed the Army Corps of Engineers to find a reroute, that the oil company does not plan to do any reroute. And basically they're just waiting till January 20th when Trump becomes president. And on top of that, I learned today it was announced that the EPA new director is no other than the attorney general from guess what state? Oklahoma.
Oh, your state?
Yeah, our state.
You did warn us.
All known for the earthquakes because of the fracking. So this guy has never protected our land at all here in this state, and it has taken court action to finally get them to start doing a little bit. But we have, you know, we've gone to the number one from zero earthquakes to the top earthquakes in the whole state here, even California, all due to the fracking. And now this guy is going to be the head of the EPA. So what does that tell you?
Yeah.
They're going to just rape land. Sad.
You know, it's really a scary thing. The only thing I can think of is, you know, I know you and I had this talk about Trump, and, you know, if he really wants to go down as one of the best presidents ever, staying with the indigenous and fighting for the Indians, I mean, there is nothing more, you know, loyal and you know, more dignified than that. And it's not even the people there. It's not even the Sioux Nation. It's become huge. It's become international now. Because, you know, when you look at this and you see someone bulldozing over people, you know, we're not going to take that anymore. You know, we have Black Lives Matter. We have People Matter. You know, it's coming to the point where people look and they're not going to. It's not like when you were back in the day, God forgive me, when the Holocaust was happening and people over here were going, like, oh, I don't know. I can't believe that's happening. Are you sure that's really happening? You know, and people put their head in the sand and, you know, we didn't really have the media coverage that we have today. Don't get me wrong. And a lot of people put their head in this, and they usually say, it's not happening to me. It doesn't affect my life, you know. But people are realizing now that if it's not, if you know, it could affect your life eventually. You know, like, I live on the East Coast all my life. I've never left the East Coast. Both my boys moved. One is in California, one is in Colorado, you know. I have to think that my other two are going to be moving out. It's like I always thought the East Coast was safe, and now you have California with the earthquakes and everything else going on. You know, it's not, you're not living in a box anymore. And you have to realize that this affects everyone. And if we allow people like that in power to just, you know, bamboozle us and push us, you know, around, you know, when are we going to say stop? So if we take a stand here, then the next stand will be easier. And then eventually you see that these people who do have a lot of money, these corporations and these people who have been pushing us around for so long, you know, they're finally going to realize that we're not going to take it. And that, that word that I constantly use throughout this whole campaign and for months on our on your show, transparency. Transparency is what everyone wants. The younger generation knows when you're lying to them. You know, other people, they're not putting up with it. They're tired of being lied to. They're tired of being pushed around. And this is, this stand is not just a stand for the water, but it's a stand for so much more. You know, when you talk to people, you say, you know, I'm tired of, you know, the corporations doing that. And you only have to look at Flint, Michigan and other places where corporations dumped water. I remember when we first moved to Pennsylvania and we left Brooklyn, New York, which, you know, we had good water. There was never really any problems with our water. And we went to Pennsylvania and we had our water tested. And there was stuff in our water, like floating. And I couldn't understand it. And they were like, well, you know, we have old pipes. You know, we're not really, I guess they didn't keep up with what had to be done. And it became a huge lawsuit. But I had to put like a filter system on my house because I wasn't going to have my kids swimming in that water, you know, playing, doing their tubs and their baths and their showers. So we put on a major, and it was a huge expense for me to put on a major water filtration system on my house. But and this was 25 years ago, and I thought to myself, here's a company who's charging astronomical prices, and what happened was that they were pocketing all the money and not redoing the pipes. We don't know that. How could I possibly know that? And for people who were not getting, you know, water systems, you know, the water was foul. Some people had sulfur water. And this was just 25 years ago, and, you know, it was Bushkill, Pennsylvania. And now they have a water company that's, you know, changing the pipes, that's really on it. But it took years for that to happen. And how many kids maybe got sick from that water? Will have maybe not problems now, but in the future they've noticed that they have some issues that, that go undetected. You know, when you play around with stuff like that, when you play around with our waters, when you pollute our lands, you know, don't turn around and say, wow, I can't believe that happened. There's reasons it happened. And these small little, these stands that we take now, you know, hopefully will ensure that our children and their children have a safe environment to, you know, to be born into. What's the sense of having kids when we can't even give them a safe place to live? And it doesn't make any sense to me, Michael, at all. So we'll see. We'll see if Nelson goes. Nelson does go. I promise and people could follow. As long as you can reach me, I will keep tabs and let people know, you know, what's exactly going on over there.
Yeah, and yeah, I agree with you on all that, and I hope he makes the best president, and really is, you know, is the president of the people, because that's what, you know, who elected him, and I hope that's the case. You know, I'm worried because the people that he's putting in charge of these certain things, like I just talked about, the EPA and who that is, and like HUD, you know, takes you know, care of people who need you know, housing and things like that. You know, he put in there I forget that guy's name who ran for president. There's a doctor.
Oh,
he's never Ben Carson. And he's always talked really bad about public housing and how bad it is, and so he's put these people in there that in these certain areas that hate these departments. Like they're going to go in and try to miss, like take them apart. And these, like EPA, what is that? It looks out for people, you know. Looks out for you know, so people have clean drinking water, things like that. And public, you know, HUD and You know, look, because some people that, for whatever reason, you know, need help. And I think we're the richest country in the world, and you know, and we should help our people and our homeless people and our people that need housing. And it just scares the heck out of me, to be honest with you. And you can just see it setting up shop, and we'll see what happens. We got no choice, but I hope and pray it's a positive thing, but it just doesn't look like it.
We have to send prayers. You have to keep sending prayers to Trump. You know, even if you vote for him, you vote for him, doesn't matter. You really have to hold him in your prayers, because, you know, I'll be honest with you, by doing that, you allow, you know, we talk about my counsel. Michael, you have a counsel. We all have spirit guides. But by praying for him, you're allowing, you know, his spirit guides to try to get to him, to allow him to make the best decisions. And he has different, he's got a whole set of different spirit guides than you and I, Michael. You know, he's got some head honchos there. He's got some very interested spirit guides, some very interested angels, in making sure that he does the best he can. But by praying for him to be open-minded is the best thing you can do right now. And the power of prayer, that he sees the light and he makes the best decisions, is all you can do. It's not. It's not a special thing. It really does take very few people to keep sending him love and keep saying, you know, we want the best for our families, and so does he, and please make the best decision. And, you know, we have to keep him in our prayers. We just have to hope. That's all we can do.
Yes, and I agree with that 100%. Yes, we do. And I think we as a country, and I'm trying, you know, and I'm looking at, you know, things like, well, maybe he could do that. Maybe he could do this. Maybe he could do that, when the other administrations haven't been able to do it. So I'm trying, honestly, to look at it in a positive ways, because I think if we as a country show him, because, you know, I'm convinced he acts out because he feels hurt inside. You know, he feels people have slighted him. And if we would show him some love, maybe that would open him up. I saw him talk yesterday at a thank you rally. And I even commented to my son, I said, you know, that is the best I have seen him. I said, even when he mentioned the media and the crowd started to boo, he said, no. He said, let's just hope that, you know, good stories are written now. And I thought, wow, that's a real positive step, you know. So, you know, and I think, you know, yeah, I just say, lastly, I think, you know, I hope at least that he'll change a lot when he walks in on, you know, January 20th, because that is a, you know, I think when you walk in and you're the president and you realize you got everybody, not no longer just a party, but you got everybody that is, you know, yet you got to take care of. You got to make sure everybody's all right. I think it changes you. And we have seen people walk in and really change them, like George Bush. I mean, I thought, oh my God, this guy's going to be president. And then came 9/11 and he stepped up. And so anyway, we will see.
Yeah, no, I like the fact that he's trying to do work even before he gets in there. I'm impressed that he's already starting. And, you know, people might say, he's starting too soon. I love it. I like the fact that, like, he's not going in there and he's worried about the decor and worrying about the drapes. You've heard people, you know, presidents go in there and they're more worried about what their room looks like and how they're going to furnish it. He's already working. I have to give him, you know, a lot of credit. He's like, I'm not even in there. He's already did, you know, something with the Indiana. Some people are happy, you know, some people found fault with that. But I don't think he had to do anything. You know, he could have waited, and he stepped up right away. And, you know, that's a good sign. And the fact that he's working before he's even there has to give him credit. And to be honest, the media, they're a lot to blame. They're, you know, we look at the media and you see how one-sided they can be on any issue, and we're not getting the truth. So he is right to say that they're, you know, that they manipulate. They manipulate us. They can tell us anything they want. You know, I remember I worked for a paper. I remember working for a paper, and I had my own column, and I wrote stories in the Pocono Community News. And I did it for about 2 years. And any time I brought my paper there, my editor would want to, like, hype it up, you know. And he took one story I did on Lehman Township, and they had dug a hole. It was something about something with a spill, and it was very simple. And he made it into something so bad. Holy moly, he put down the headlines, Lehman Township's going down. And I got calls from the supervisors going, what did you do? And I'm like, nothing. I don't have control over the headlines. The editor chooses your headline. Doesn't matter what your story is. You know, they have the right to edit your story. They have a right to embellish it. And they choose the headlines. Now, many people don't know that. So you can do a wonderful story. You could have integrity and be very honest about your story, and a headline can change the whole flavor of that article. And we're at the mercy of the editors. Now, I bet you half your listeners, if not more, don't even know that. So I actually quit because he had changed my work so much that at the end it wasn't that it wasn't truthful, but it was on the verge of not being truthful. And I couldn't live with that. I had gone to the people. I had made sure my interviews were accurate. I've taken shorthand in college so I could write whatever you're saying in shorthand and make sure that I, you know, type it exactly as you quoted it. And to have someone changing my material and then giving it to the readers and having the readers and the township get upset at me is very upsetting. So think about it. And you're talking about a president and someone doesn't like him, someone's editing his, you know, their reporter's work. You really are not getting the information. You're getting a flavor of it, but you're not getting what really happened ever. It's just not going to happen. And, you know, we have to look at that, what we read, and say, you know, who's saying and what knives are they sharpening on what side, you know? So we should open our eyes to that and only believe maybe 75% of what we read.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're 100% right, you know, about the headlines and you only write the story and then the editor writes the headlines. So yeah, you're right. And I think it's just people are, you know, it's just human nature, because you look at one group of, let's say, like MSNBC. Obviously they are to like the Democratic side. But then you go to Fox where they say fair and balanced. Well, they're not. They're to the Republican side. So you kind of have to take a mixture. But the one thing, last thing I want to say, and we'll go to callers, is the one thing that is scary to me is that what we have to really be on guard for is this ton of fake news out there, because there's tons of sites nowadays popping up. And they look good. They look like, oh, that's real news there. And sure enough, it came to fold the pizza place in D.C. where it was on the news. This guy came in and he had an AK, you know, gun with him, and he went in there because he read something online and that all these horrible things were going on with Hillary and her group with minors and sex and all this bad stuff. And it was all taking place in the basement of this pizza place of all things. And well, the pizza place doesn't even have a basement, but it wasn't true. But the point of it is that I remember this story because before the election, a couple of my listeners contacted me through Facebook, and they were literally in tears. They said, I cannot believe the story I'm reading. And I said, well, who, what's the source? And they said, well, the one name they could find in the article was Alex Jones. And I told them then right from the get-go, I said, that is no truth to that at all. Let it go out of your mind, because that's, you know, I know who Alex Jones is, and he runs this. I mean, it is all this, you know, furious stories. And he actually did a story about my hometown here in Oklahoma when we got hit by a tornado several years ago, and he came on and he said, "They're in Oklahoma and more Oklahoma." He said the government has taken over the people's land. It is happening. Martial law is, and the story was that this tornado came right before sunset, and that there was open, you know, gas lines, power lines, so it wasn't safe for people to go in there. The very next day, the people went back to their homes and started to rebuild. And that story was totally false, and that's what he does. But I'm digressing a little bit. So people just need to be aware of what they're reading, and is it really news? And so, yeah, it's important.
Absolutely. Oh, thank you. That's interesting. I can't even believe someone can get away with that. I think there should be like some kind of law about, you know, misinforming people. I think there should be.
Yeah. And people will, like this guy, Alex Jones, he would continue, and I think he does still go on a very popular radio station called Coast to Coast AM, and they know that he's fake, but they bring him on there because he brings in the ratings. They have no integrity, which is sad. But this Alex Jones guy, he even went on to say that, like at there at Sandy Hook, where those children were horribly killed, the nightclub in Florida, where the gay club was shot up, on those type of stories, he goes on and says that didn't happen. Those were actors. That's the government trying to take away your guns. Literally, he says that stuff. Those were actors. Like,
oh,
are you kidding me? So
I don't even have any answer to that one. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, that just anyway. So, well, let's go to callers. That sound good, Lisa?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Okay. And I don't know if we have a delay on your phone, Lisa. Just be aware of that in case calls. But it seems like you're fading in and out just a little bit.
All right. Well, I'll be mindful. Okay. Let me know how I go then.
Okay. All right, let's go to area code 786. Welcome. Can we get your first name and where you're calling from?
Oh, my name is Alberta. I'm calling from Tampa, Florida.
Hi, Alberta. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you.
What can we do for you tonight?
Well, I have questions about my love life. It's not going the best. And I just wonder if anybody in...
Wait, I'm having a hard time hearing you. Wait, hold on.
Okay.
I'm trying to switch lines so I can hear you. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. I have questions about my love life, and I wanted to know because I'm at the point where I want to get married and have more children, and I want to know if any guys that I've met already or in my life is, you know, going to be him? Is it going to happen soon? I don't know.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Your first card is signals, which means that there's some, you know, you got a message already. And the number three, are you dating more than one person? Like, are you dating people right now at this time? Like, you know, just casually dating?
Somewhat like that, yes.
Okay. Would it be safe to say that there are three people involved that, you know, you kind of, you know, maybe go out and, you know, enjoy some time with?
No, not really. No one in particular. Just mostly conversation. But there's really one that is more potential, I would say.
Okay. And out of this group of people that you might just have company, maybe even go have coffee, there's not three people? Not three, just one?
Nope. Just one.
Oh, okay.
Not three.
Just one. The card signals is failed communication and lack of clarity or awareness in your past history or present situation, a sense of futility, and wasted motion. This to me just seems like some, you know, you may be pushing a, you know, a square peg into a round hole, you know, like
mm-hmm.
not a bad person, not somebody, but not your best fit for you.
Mm-hmm.
I think you would have to, you know, maybe there were some things that you might have to accept that you would like to have changed, but that you would settle for. Would that be correct?
Right. I think I took care of that person. I think it was just more so like
okay.
we weren't compatible, but we was trying to make it happen.
Okay. Because the number three is like the third man. I don't know why. It's the third person that you're going to meet. So I don't know if you have like this. That's why I keep asking you if there's three. Because there's a third guy coming, and he seems like a better fit for you. The one that you're with now, or the past one, that just was a square peg in a round hole. So I'm not feeling that. But I feel
right.
like someone's coming, and it's third. It's if there's two behind, then there's one coming. But it's the number three, and he just has it all together. You know, he's a very calming individual. Seems like he has very nice shoulders. I don't know why his shoulders stand out. Very broad shoulders. And
okay.
very definite, you know. He makes a decision and it's very definite, you know. Not that he's
right.
not authoritative or not bossy, but he's very contemplative and then he's very definite, you know. So I kind of like him, but he's the third. So I don't know what that means for you, but I guess maybe you'll know what that means, or you're with, you know, the one who's coming, the third one. But definite also has very soft eyes. Like light brown, soft eyes. You could look at his eyes. And that's really important because I think the person you're with, I don't know if they, you know, when you can't look at someone's eyes and you can't hold their gaze,
mm-hmm.
that's something to think about. You know, for me, to look at someone's eyes, it's really hard to stare at someone's eyes. It's almost like you automatically want to look down, you know,
mm-hmm.
But you really are looking into their soul. And this person has very soft, gentle eyes, easy to look at, and you could read right through him. There's an honesty there, which I like. Your next
is
card
is
warrior.
Is he local?
You
say warrior. Go ahead.
Yeah, your
Sorry.
Next card is warrior. It says, danger is that through hasty or ill-timed action, life force is leaked out or spilled away. If an association is short-lived, do not grieve, but know that it has fulfilled its span. Matters of trust and confidence are at issue here. So I guess whoever you're with now, you know, I don't think that that's the person. That's not the person. But this other person that's coming, I see you maybe doing coffee with him. I see like a cafe type of place that you could like meet him. Very casually, kind of like a daytime type of date. A very casual, don't know where you're going to meet him. I don't think you've met him yet, though.
Okay.
But the one that you with, I don't think that you feel that this is the guy either for you, do you? I don't feel it. I don't think he puts sparks in you, you know.
At this point, I just question it all at this point.
You know what, the only thing I would not question, and as we get older, you know, we seem to think that we should settle. And I don't think we should settle. I think that we,
mm-hmm.
I think we still should get, we should still see fireworks, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We should still get that feeling of when that person walks in that our hearts drop. I don't care how
mm-hmm.
old you are. I don't think it's for the young. I think it's for the people, you know, if you've been through a divorce or you God forbid, you know, your spouse has passed on. I think that there's
mm-hmm.
still love, you know, life after that. I do. And
mm-hmm.
I will tell you, though, Alberta, that you need to reach for, you know, like I tell my kids, you need to want at least 125%. Because in any
mm-hmm.
relationship, it's going to drop down a couple of percentages. It's going to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're aiming
right.
at 80, when everything is said and done, you'll wind up with 60, which is, not so good, you know. So
mm-hmm.
you need to have the fireworks. You need to look at that person and think that the whole world and the sun revolve around him because he got up in the morning. And that's okay.
Right.
And that's what we should look for. There's nothing less than we should want. You know, we
mm-hmm.
deserve it. You know, why would you want someone that you go, ugh, I can't stand what he does that, I can't stand when he does this. You know, you probably had that already, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's time to look for the person that rocks your socks, that makes your heart pound, and that you could be with him doing absolutely nothing and still be really happy. You know, it's when you're looking for that person that has to, I always look at people that constantly have to go out. You know, they always have to be out with their loved ones. Like, you know, sitting home and just like maybe relaxing is sometimes not an option for them. And that's sad because I don't think that's really what it's all about. So I would say that this guy is coming someplace in a cafe. You'll meet with him, and this will be your guy. But I would say proceed cautiously because he's kind of on the shy side. So don't hand over all your cards and all your information. Kind of play a little hard to get, and things will be better.
Okay, not a problem. So is marriage sometimes too?
Right.
Any marriage, any children?
I like this third one. If you meet with this third one, I think this will be a nice, you know. And again, Alberta, you have to feel like you deserve it. I can tell you everything, and you know, give you the information, but you and your heart have to say, I deserve this guy. And then you have to ask Creator, say, you know what, I deserve this. I want it.
Mm-hmm.
I deserve it. And now I'm going to wait for you to send it. And never think that you don't. You know, constantly keep saying, I deserve this. I'm going to be a great mom. I would be a great wife. I have a lot to offer. So let's get on with it. And seriously, you need to talk to a Creator like that, because I think when you talk to him like that on a heart-to-heart, you know, and let him know exactly what you're looking for, that's when you're the best prayers. I always say those are the prayers that are the most answered quickly.
Okay.
You know, you don't have to sit there and do a long, you know, prayers that, you know, that someone else wrote. Say your own prayers from your own heart. Use your intent, you know. Cry, scream, yell, put emotion into it. But by all means, make sure that your intentions are absolutely known to him, you know?
Okay. Thank you.
All right. You have a blessed holiday. Enjoy, okay?
Not a problem. You too. Thank you.
Thank you, Alberta.
Okay, thanks for your call there. We appreciate it. And I just want to point out before we go to the next call that you could contact Lisa at her website or phone number to get a private reading. And she does have a special for the Journey into the Light listeners. So that's really great. So for a 45-minute private reading with Lisa, she's taking $10 off, so it's just $40. So just $40 for a 45-minute private reading. The phone number that you can reach Lisa is 570-269-5649. 570-269-5649. Lisa, do you want to let anybody know your website or any other information?
I just want to let everyone know that you can also buy a gift certificate, you know, if you don't want the reading for yourself, but you're thinking about maybe someone that you love, a friend, please just contact me at lisahypnotherapyandreiki.com, or you can Facebook me at Lisa Zayas, Z-A-Y-A-S. Michael has that information. And you can give your gift certificate to anyone. There's also a special for two hypnotherapy CDs, and they're running at $24.99. One is for sleep, if you have a hard time sleeping at night, and the other one is for winter blues depression. So if you're one that's suffering from any kind of winter blues, the depression, this is the CD for you. So thank you, Michael.
Yes, and I will. You have testimony to the sleep CD. It is excellent, and I have tried it, use it, and still do, and still haven't gotten to the end of it before I knock off each night and go to sleep. So it is great. Thank you, Lisa.
I guess it's working then.
Yeah, it's working
good.
All right. okay, let's go to our next call. And if you're called in, you want to speak to Lisa, make sure you press the 1 on your phone, okay? All right, let's go next then to Texas and bring in Justin.
Hello, how are y'all?
Hey, Justin, hello? How are you?
Hey, Lisa, how are you?
Hello. Good, good. What can we do for you tonight?
You know, I know I'm on a spiritual awakening, and this is, I would say, maybe my second. I feel like a second spiritual awakening. This one's very intense, and it leaves me, of course, doubting, and I'm kind of blocking the energy from spirit to coming through to guide me. And I feel they have a message for me. I just can't get with it. So maybe you can help me out.
I will. Thank you so much for calling. Oh, it's my honor. And I'm so happy for you. Congratulations. Counsel's telling me, absolutely. Counsel's actually telling me, first of all, I want to tell you your card is partnership. And that is a wonderful card. It says, I am your beloved. You are my true companion. We meet in the circle at the Rainbow Center, coming together in wholeness. Now, this partnership can be with anybody, a friend, a family, or God. So that's a great card for you. What you're blocking, I'm going to tell you right now. We've done it on the show before, but I'm going to tell you this little exercise. It's an exercise that I came up with myself, and it's worked. So it's helped so many people. My kids have done it. So here we go. You get three cards, Justin, okay? I want you to get a deck of playing cards, and I want you to take the king and the queen of the red suit, king and queen hearts, that's fine, or diamonds, whatever you prefer. Then I want you to find the two of spades, okay? So you're going to have three cards. Put the rest of the deck on the side. These three cards you're going to use, and you're going to turn them upside down so you can't see them. And I want you to look at them very carefully, and I want you to study their energy of each card. And as you do, I want you to target. The first thing is to target, to see if you could find that two of spades, all right? By doing that, you're going to just pick the card that seems like it's either raised, maybe it feels heavy. You look at it, it looks like it's a little heavy. Maybe it's a little lighter. But this is how you're going to develop your intuitive muscle, and I'll explain to you why that's important for where you are on your journey. As you go and target, you'll look for the two of spades. Now, if that doesn't work for you, if that way of looking for the card does not work for you, you can then deduce. By doing that, you take the three cards and you say, I'm looking at these three cards, and I know that the center one is definitely not the two of spades. And you look at it. If you're correct, I want you to feel your stomach, your solar plex, okay? I want you to see how your stomach is feeling that you made the right decision, all right? Notice that. Look at the next two cards. Again, do it again. I feel like the right card is not the two of spades. Pick it up, and if you're right, again, reinforce that feeling. Then obviously the one on the left is the two of spades. By doing this exercise every day for 5 minutes, you are allowing your intuitive muscle to become stronger, which allows your spirit guides to be able to talk to you, all right? Because it's really a feeling. It's a hunch, a feeling. It's that thing inside you that says, yes, you know, I can hear them. I hear them very clearly. And I will tell you, if you continue to do that, your spirit counsel, your spirit guides, your counsel will be able to talk to you, and you won't doubt. Because the doubting is when you're not plugged in. It's like, it's as if, like, you know you have your radio on, but you can't hear anything. And a lot of us, once we get into this work, we might hear something one day, we don't hear it the next day, then we don't hear it for maybe a couple of days, and we start to doubt. We're like, oh, I never heard that. That can't be true. But this exercise reinforces that. So even on your off days, you can keep practicing, building up that muscle. Now you start practicing even more, and there's a lot more exercises that, you know, if you want to reach me privately, we can go over so that it would continue to help you strengthen that muscle so that you're never not plugged in, you know. There are times, like, you might even, like, when you don't think you're plugged in, a lot of times in the shower is where I get all my answers. I know that's the craziest time, but that's the time that I seem to get a lot of answers, you know. I don't know if it's the water. I call the water the undines. I don't know if that's the fluidity of that, but that's where I get a lot of my answers. But I can be doing something just like cooking, and all of a sudden things come to me, and I'm getting all these insights. So it really doesn't matter, but you have to keep that muscle strong, and you have to exercise it. Your next card is Gateway, which means that once you pass through a gateway, everything changes. So I would suggest that you read, and if you're not sure what books, you can contact me personally. I will tell you what books you should start reading so that when you pass the gateway, you'll be ready, and you'll have all the tools you need to go through that gateway. I hope that helps you, Justin.
Thank you. Okay. Yeah,
just when you're reading, I feel really good about you.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I
feel so happy for you.
Oh,
I do.
Thank you.
My heart is beaming for you.
Thank you. Well, thank you, Lisa, and great show.
Does that speak well to your soul? Do you feel right about that?
It does. It does.
Okay. You can reach me, through Michael's site. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to, give you some more little tidbits here and there. But if you're willing to take this journey, you have to surround yourself with people who have like-mindedness. And, we'll tell you, sometimes we have our off days. But when you surround yourself, they immediately pick you up. And you go, okay, good. I can pick myself up, and I'm good to go.
Okay. Well, thank y'all very much.
All right. Be well, Justin.
Okay. Thanks for your call there. We do appreciate it. And let's see. Let's take our final call here, 6 minutes remaining. Okay, you're on the air. Can we get your first name and where you're calling from?
This is Erin from California.
Hi, Erin. How are you?
I'm okay. thanks for taking my call.
Good.
Is it ask a specific question, or I haven't called in before?
Have a specific question?
Yeah.
That's okay. Do you have something in mind?
If you do that, if you do just a short general, that's okay too. I don't know how you do it. I haven't called in before.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling.
No, you're welcome. I was enjoying your earlier part of your broadcast. I have a question about a gal. I tried to talk her out of doing something a few years ago, and she was convinced I was trying to keep her from a box of chocolates, metaphorically speaking. And she figured out that it was a huge problem for her, and she eventually got clear of it, but it took her a few years to get out of the situation she'd gotten herself into. So I reached out to her recently, and I told her I was sorry for the heartache. And I didn't gloat or anything, but I just kind of reached out to her and told her I hoped things went better for her. And I was wondering if you could just look at it and tell me how she's doing and how she took my reaching out to her.
It's weird because I'm looking at the cards. You got the snake, which is separation, the shedding of the skin, and then you got the lightning bolts coming into her life. So if we're looking at her, then I would say she shed her skin and she did well. She became a new person, but it was not without a lot of grief.
Right.
There was a lot of it was tumultuous at best, because when you get the snake and the lightning, you're looking at huge transformation right down to your cellular level. So it wasn't easy. I think that she appreciated it, but I don't think, she still harbors some, she's not thrilled. She's happy that you're cool, but she's not thrilled maybe with herself. It's not you. It's not that she doesn't care about you, but that she reflects back, like looking at the mirror and what she had to go through. It's a reminder of what she went through. I would just say maybe with kids, to understand and pass no judgment on her and say, we'd like to just, I don't have judgment and I'm just so glad you're at that point. That would probably be the best thing, because, whenever we're kind of faced with something that we did in the past, sometimes that person, even though they meant well, they're a key reminder of that point in time,
Right, right.
Like you represent that point in time, and she might see you as that point in time and then go back to relive it. So if she cuts ties with you, it's only because she can't separate the two. But I wouldn't hold that against her because it's hard. What she went through was hard, and
right.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, I was gonna say we were never friends. I was just trying to save her from herself. She jumped into a situation with both feet in it, and was happy for a little bit. But then it took her three almost 4 years to actually get out of the situation. It was pretty traumatic and scary for her. And I tried to warn her up front, and she just wouldn't take my advice. And it just was what it was. I tried to help her, but she wouldn't listen.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you are that face that reminds her of what happened, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I would just wait till she comes around and she has a little bit more, grass under her feet, and she could look back and, more mature and say, hey, that was really nice of you. I'm not sure she's that far from the incident to look back and to realize that.
Right.
You know?
No, I understand.
Too close to home. But I thank you for your call, and that was really sweet of you. But I think she's still... It's still too ripe. The wounds are too ripe still.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, thanks for the insight.
Yep.
I appreciate it. Yep.
Oh, no problem, Erin. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Have a good evening.
Okay. Appreciate your call there as well. All right, Lisa, that's going to wrap it up for another. I think everybody was enjoying our discussion earlier, so that's good.
And please let everyone know that any of the things, any of the products that are on my site, we are using it to fund Nelson's trip. So we're trying to use those proceeds. If you would like a blanket or a scarf, please let me know. They all go into a fair this weekend to be sold. So we'll see what comes back. But if you're interested in any of the products, I can put them on hold for you. And they, instead of just donating, I know when people donate, they don't get anything. You just let the money go. But here you're actually buying something, and the money is going to Nelson's trip. So you get something for your money, and I always think that's a good way of sharing the energy, so to speak. So if you see something on my website, please let me know. Okay?
Okay,
thank you,
very
Michael,
good.
As always.
All right. Thanks, Lisa. Have a good weekend. All right. Bye-bye. And we'll see Lisa back here.
Bye-bye.
Next week here, as usual, here on Wednesdays. And Lisa's link is right there on her show page right here to contact Lisa there and find all of the great items there she has available. So check it out. Just click on it and automatically will take you there. You won't lose the page at all. So there you go there. I'll be on the air tomorrow night and also tomorrow afternoon. We'll start everything up tomorrow afternoon at 3 p.m. Eastern time. So until then, I want to thank you all for being here. If this is the first time you've heard the show, make sure you click on the follow button located at the top left of the screen. This way you'll get updates for all the upcoming shows, when they are, and all that great information. So, and thanks again to everybody, and many blessings and much love. Good night, everybody.